Thanks, Gary, for playing that music and helping us all to, I guess, get more in a spiritual frame of mind where we can think about his word, think about the things that Paul has to say to Timothy, and the things that we can glean from these truths and apply them to our own hearts and minds. We are going to be looking in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and more than likely just get through verse 1. And we appreciate the opportunity to be able to share and to feel good enough to be able to do that. It's amazing how frail we are, and how the Lord can strengthen us and give us what we need to be able to share His truths. So, it says I need to get a bit louder. Let me get the microphone a little bit quicker, a little bit closer to my mouth. Let's pause for just a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get into this study. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, for your kindness, for your goodness, for your word, for all that you mean to us, and for all that you do for us. We certainly thank you, and ask that you would continue to bless us and use us however you can. Answer the prayer request of all the saints according to your will, and give us a desire to want to serve you and put you first in our lives. We ask all these things in our Savior's name. We ask Him for His sake. Amen. So if you would, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I'll go ahead and just read the verse, and then we will make some comments about what I think is here for us to kind of glean out and make sense of what Paul was saying to Timothy, and I think by application to us as members of his body. So he starts out by saying, Paul says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And I find it interesting that he uses the expression, "my son," the Greek form technon, and it has that idea of being a child. So it's a child of me that Paul's suggesting. So Timothy was Paul's adopted son, but perhaps more than that, or better added on top of that truth, there was a special bond that Paul had with this child, in that Paul expected Timothy to carry on with the ministry or the commission that Paul had. We know that Paul, this is one of the last books that Paul wrote. I believe it is the last book, 2 Timothy. And I think he's giving his last words or his final instructions. And he's doing all he can, saying all he can to encourage Timothy to keep on keeping on. And so he wants him to carry on the ministry or the commission that Paul had. I'm not going to suggest that God was going to treat Timothy the same way he did with Paul in revealing the mystery to him, individually. But I do think that he's going to give or empower Timothy to share the mystery message, indirectly. In other words, he'll find the truth in the word that Paul recorded and that the Lord recorded, to be able to carry on the truths to all who would listen and follow after Paul's instructions written and recorded, especially in his last seven epistles. So that's a lot to be said just about that expression, "my son," but I think those are the thoughts that that Paul has in mind when he's thinking about the relationship that he has with Timothy, of what his expectations are for Timothy. I think he thinks that Timothy is up to the task. I think he knows with the Lord's help that he'll be able to succeed, be successful, and get the word out to all that would hear, all that have a desire to hear. I firmly believe if we seek after the Lord, he will reveal himself. And so I think that's the charge that's been given to Timothy and by application us also, to get the truth out, the results of it, who's been chosen before the foundation of the world. I would have to leave that in the Lord's hands. He was the one that was doing the choosing. So I don't think necessarily we can pick and choose who would give the message to, but I do think we do want to consider those that are faithful, those who are willing to be value, I think, the importance of the mystery and the truth in there. So as we think about it, I think that's might be one thing that we might be encouraged to do, is to share this truth with the faithful, those would listen and would hear it and would accept it and who would value it and truly thank the Lord for it. So trying to see my notes here, the instructions written, recorded, especially in the last 7 epistles. So we have, the next word I wanted to look at is that word, strengthened. Sometimes it's translated strengthened, but here it's translated strong, where he says, be strong. And I think it's interesting that he says, in the grace. And we're going to look at that term, grace, and see what what I think Paul has in mind when he starts thinking about Timothy drawing strength from the grace that is in the Lord Christ Jesus. It's always interesting when we think about the Lord dwelling in us, and I think he does that by grace, and I think the things that he gives us to help us further serve him in the ministry, the only way we can get that, I think, is through studying the Word and through believing what the Word says and acknowledging what the Word says to each of us as body. So, I think one thing we do when we try to strengthen ourselves is we try to exercise. Like Gary says down here, in life in general, too. And I think that's true. That wherever we feed ourselves, whatever we give our minds over to, those are the things that will influence us and will cause us to lean or move in that direction. So I think it's very important that we think about the grace that the Lord has given us and the strength that he has given us to like I said, as we started, to help us to move forward, to follow after the Lord himself. He asked us to do that, but didn't ask us that, did not prepare us. It's rather, he asked us to do that, and he's preparing us as we go. He's teaching us as we go. And we should be learning about what these things mean, and then applying them to our lives. I think about how much the Lord loves us, and by the way, we don't think that Paul ever went around bragging how much he loved the Lord, but it was more bragging about how much the Lord loved him. And I think we do better when we think of things that way. What the Lord empowers us, and how the Lord encourages us. So, to do the exercises means we have to study the Word, and we have to rightly divide it, and we have to sometimes look a little below the surface to see what the Lord would have us to be doing, and how he would strengthen us, give us the energy to be able to accomplish the task at hand. So again, that was a word, 1743. I'm going to try to pronounce it Indunamo. And it comes from two words, 1722, which is this little short word, E-N, which is sometimes translated in the English, I-N. But it has a lot of meanings. The other one is the word 1412, and that's the word I'm going to look at, and it's the word that that sometimes gets translated strengthened, as it is when we look at some of the other words. I just think about the energy source is the Lord, and the He never gives us too much energy to accomplish the job. He doesn't, you know, want to blow our circuits, but he gives us the strength necessary to accomplish the task, and that's very important, that he would limit how much strength he would give us in order to finish the task, and that still not be. I think if he gave us the strength and then we didn't need to exercise it, I think that we would probably not ask for it or not think about it as coming from him. But I think as he limits the amount that he gives us, but it's always enough to get the job done. That's the way I see it and understand it. It's a way of him accomplishing his task in us, and then us being able to do other things as we move past that one test to the next. So the first verse I want to look at is in verse 11, Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. But I want to start with verse 9, and I'm going to be reading down to verse 13. And we'll be seeing there how that word is used, like to be strengthened, and just thinking about how the Lord strengthens us, how He does that. He does dwell in our hearts, but He does encourage us, and He does supply the energy necessary for us to be able to accomplish the task, whatever that task might be. And by the way, I don't think He ever puts more on us than we can bear. I don't think He ever will ever lack for what we need to do to accomplish the task. He supplies or meets every need, and so I have that confidence that if I ask Him and pray to Him for Him to help me to do these whatever task is before me, He will do that. And I've learned as I've gotten older to ask first for His help, rather than trying to do it for myself and then come to Him and ask for the help. I find it a lot less stressful and a lot more effective if I just start with His strength and with His ability to supply what I need to be able to accomplish His work in myself, in my life. So verse 9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Again, as I just stated, the first step for us is to pray. And we should not only pray for our own selves, but pray for others. Others who are attempting to accomplish the same goals, the same task as we are. And that's to fulfill the Lord's will in our lives. And he says, "And to desire might be filled the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." It's quite a blessing to be able to ask for these things and have the Lord supply them and give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that we need to do things prudently and to do things effectively. It says in verse 10 that you might walk worthy of the Lord. He makes us worthy, and He helps us to walk worthy. It's another step in the process, I guess, of getting to be more like Him, when we realize that He's accomplishing it in us. He desires to do that, and if we allow it, He'll do it. So that you might walk worthy of the Lord, to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Then he says, and by the way, I think most of these things that he's talking about, most of the strength that I think he's talking about has to be, and I'm sure you've all heard of the expression, mind over matter. But I think it's having the right attitude and doing things for the right attitude, because he's asked us to do it. It makes the work that much more satisfying to us and to him. And he can and will reward us accordingly. So it says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. This is exactly what I think he's saying back there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, or chapter 2, verse 1, that he is going to, through grace, he's going to supply what we need to accomplish the task. And one of the truly required of us, he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, and it's got in light, or in the light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. That's the other thing I think we need energy from, is to be, and I think in our cases, most of the time, it's our own flesh that restricts or fights us or tries to prevent us from doing the Lord's will. But we also know that the enemy would like to stop us also. So there's a twofold strength that we need. One, that we would win the battle over the enemy, and the other, to win the battle over our own flesh, so that we might be more pleasing, that we might be more acceptable, and that we might accomplish that which the Lord has truly intended for our lives. So the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amazing when you think about that, all the things that he accomplishes for us. And I'm not sure we have to think about them. I think they're already there, but I know when we do think about them, that it puts us in a better frame of mind to be willing to serve, willing to do that which the Lord would have us to do. So I think it's a combination of the Lord working in us and through us to accomplish his will. And he's supplying all that's necessary. All we have to do is have the right mindset, the right attitude, to be more like him, to be more like the Lord himself. So to be empowered, or to be enabled, that is certainly what I think the Lord had put into Paul's mind to share with Timothy. Some other references we want to look at is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I think I got about 5 references I'd like to look at. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong, there's our same word again, in the Lord and in the power of his might. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is a power. It may be invisible. It may be something that others can't see, but it's something that will help us to fight off the enemy. And so I think it's a beautiful thing that the Lord supplies us the necessary armor that we need so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil, the wiles of our enemy. And it says, we wrestle not, in verse 12, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that he may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I can still remember Oscar saying to us, we don't have to be offensive in our attack of the enemy. We rather just need to stand, to take a stand. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the good news of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching and therefore with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So I think we not only do this, take on this armor for ourselves, but I think it also it's something that can help our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in battles, the same struggles. And so that's certainly something we can't see, but it is something that we can truly believe. I think all of us from time to time come under attack from the enemy, and we know the source, and we know the arsenal that we have for our own protection, this armor that we can put on to prevent from being defeated. So that is certainly something that he's, I think, thinking about, or he probably doesn't have to mention this stuff in every reference, but it certainly is things that I like to think about when I think about him supplying us what we need to be good soldiers for the Lord, and how we can win. So when he's talking about increasing our strength, I don't think he's talking about us going out and lifting weights or running great distances or things like that. Although it's important that we take care of our bodies, but I think, again, the attack really is more on the mind or the spiritual battles that we're going to come in contact with. The next one is in Philippians 4:13. I typically like to read the context of the verse that I'm pointing to, for the simple fact that as we read what goes before and what comes after, we get a fuller understanding of what he's talking about when he talks about receiving strength or being strengthened. It may not come across your mind right away. Why do I need that? What strength do I need? What strength is he talking about? And so as you read about these different verses where this word is used, we see and understand these are some of the things that he has in mind as he shares them with not only Timothy, but I think us by application in things that we might need. So Philippians 4, going down to verse 13. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. In other words, if you think about the Lord in the garden where he asked the disciples to pray with him, that this type of thing, this type of prayer can help hold up that individual who's under attack. He says in verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, heard from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So this is a commendation that he could give them, because they already had this attitude of how can I help? What can I do to support or to help this other group of like-minded saints? So I think that's that's important. It's something that Paul said with all the things that he had going on in his own life. He also had to care of the churches. And it was good for him to run into others who had the same mindset or had the same attitude, helping the other saints in other locations. The next one is in 1 Timothy 1:12. 1 Timothy 1:12, and he uses the expression here, or the word enabled. 1 Timothy 1:12. And so again, lest we forget, the Lord is the one supplying the energy or the ability for us to be able to do what He needs us to do. So 1:12 says in 1 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me." There's that same word for strengthened or be strong. "He has enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And I think that's when Paul looks at his own life and considers who he was, for the Lord to count him worthy of being a apostle to the Gentiles, it just gladdens his heart. He says in 13, "Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." I just think it's amazing the Lord could forgive him for what he had in the past that he thought was right, but it was actually against the Lord's purpose. And so when it came time for the Lord to change Paul's actions and his thought process, he shared the truth with him, and Paul immediately said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And I think that is the type of attitude that he says that we should follow him as he follows after the Lord. So, again, he's not thinking there's anything of himself, but he's really thinking these thoughts, these attitudes, mindsets that he's had, this change that he's went through, has all been accomplished in the Lord. And then finally, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. Obviously, you can read on there and see more about this, but I think you get the gist of what he's saying and how he's changed Paul. I was thinking earlier today as I was preparing for this, how the Lord has changed my thinking and my desires and my whole life from one end to the other. The things I accomplish and want to accomplish, the life I desire to live now, it's all directly because of him and what he's done for me with his death, his burial, his shedding of his blood, and his resurrection. It's all bound in the whole package of how the Lord lived, how he conducted himself, and how he was willing to make that ultimate sacrifice for each of us. And it should change us. It should change the way we look at things, think about things, when we think about eternity, when we think about what needs to be done even today as we try to serve the Lord. So verse 17, he says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." That's our same word there. In this case, it's said to be strengthened. So there's not too much difference in between this strong and enduring and being enabled and empowered. I think they all kind of come into play. And in this case, it's with me and strengthen me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, delivered out of the mouth of the lion. as I thought about that, I don't think that he's referring to literal physical lion, but rather I think he realizes he's been put in harm's way several times, and that there's several that would like to stop him and perhaps even kill him. And so he says in 18, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me until his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever." Then he mentions some others who were good servants for the Lord also. And so it's the Lord who supplies the strength, the energy, the desire, the want to, and will keep him even out of harm's way so he can accomplish what needs to be done. What the Lord has, I think, reserved or put in store for him to accomplish in his existence up here, here on the earth. So the next word we want to consider is that word grace. It's 5485. I think it's pronounced charis. But it's the divine influence on his heart, I think is the way he says that. Second Timothy, let's go back to Second Timothy 1 again, and chapter 2, excuse me. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So I think there is a strong influence upon his heart, upon his thinking, upon his mind, on what the Lord would have him to do. And I think it's all accomplished through this grace that is in Christ Jesus. He says, here it is, some of the words that I thought of about that have to do with this grace that I think he's referring to. It can have the thought it's a favor, of gratitude, of being thankful, of being made worthy. So now I'm going to look at some examples of that. Ephesians chapter 1 is where I want to go. Just thinking about the grace that he's referring to. Ephesians verse 6 and also verse 7. He says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved." So I thought, what was accomplished in that verse by his grace? It was the fact of him being accepted. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to do anything of his own volition. Just believe that the Lord had made him a very religious Jew. He had made him accepted. And he didn't have to do anything or accomplish anything or take credit for anything that he had done. Just believe that the Lord had done it. And he says over in Philippians about he counted all the things that he once thought were so valuable as dung or just waste. And he had been spending his whole life trying to become acceptable, be accepted in the Lord. And the Lord did it, grace. Verse 7, it says, "In whom we have redemption." Something else that's very important that we have is redemption. And we have it through his blood. Another very necessary thing that we need as sinners is forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins. And it says that it's all been done according to the riches of his grace. And I can't think of anybody that has more grace than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If we feel like that we're not have not been forgiven, or that we haven't been redeemed, then we're not really acknowledging what the Lord accomplished through his own blood. It's as plain and as simple as that. These things are so important that we need to believe them and not be trying to work toward a goal of trying to become good enough or forgiven enough to please Him, because it's already been accomplished through His blood. And we need to believe that. We need to acknowledge it. Let's go to chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 7. I probably should read 6 too, because it says, I'll read verse 5 too, I guess. It says, Ephesians 2:5 says, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, or made us alive together with Christ. He says, by grace you are saved. And you, I think we're saved or preserved from the beginning of our life, even before we even thought of, because it says we were chosen before the foundation of the world. But also the fact that He saved us, He's keeping us saved, and He guarantees us that He will save us in the future. So it's a promise, totally contingent upon what He's done by His grace. Verse 6 says, and He has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So He's given us a position, a hope, a calling that's in the heavenly place, far above all. Then He says in verse 7, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So here He's showing us... I think this kindness that we're certainly not, you know, if you think about how He should have dealt with us and how He has chosen to deal with us, they're completely opposite, and we are rewarded, and He operates with us in kindness, not in judgment. And then verse 8 says, for by grace you are saved through faith. And by the way, I think He gives us the faith. I think we believe the truth, and He gives us the faith. I think it's the way this goes. And faith comes from hearing and believing the Word of God. And so He says, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I'm not sure why some would be so foolish or naive to think that they had something to do with their own salvation, but it's very, very clear here that the Lord does it. He accomplishes it, and it's something that's not contingent upon our work or what we've done. And we cannot fail in that because He's done it all. Now let's go over to Ephesians 3. Chapter 3. I'll just read a few verses there, and then we'll close. Chapter 3, verse 7 says, let me read 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. And there's three joints here. We could say joint heirs, joint body, and joint partakers of His promise. There's three different expressions there about what the Gentiles have. And it's not because of anything they've done, it's all because of what the Lord. Joint partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, and given unto me by the effectual working of His power. And then finally He says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mysterion, whom the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So may each of us be found do that which the Lord desires for each of us, and do it because of the grace that God has shown toward each of us in supplying all that we need to accomplish the task. So thanks for your time and your prayers and your just listening to, and hopefully you'll be able to glean out some of these things of the truth of what he was trying to share with Timothy, and I think with us also. So I will unlock the mic, and then anybody that wants to talk can make comments or